Of course there's bad churches. Then go find a good one. And if you have to drive to get to it, then it's worth the drive, I would say. Yes. You know? So get in your car and go. I mean, how bad do you want it? I mean, how important is the truth to you?
This is ARN.
Decidedly Christian, distinctly biblical, and just a little bit nuts. This is Squirrel Chatter.
And welcome to the Piney Woods, ladies and gentlemen. I am your squirrel, the host, coming to you from the ARN studios, high atop the tallest tree in the Piney Woods. It is Friday. Yes, indeed, it is Friday. Oh, glorious, glorious Friday. We're moving into the weekend. We've had a beautiful, hot, sunny week all week long, and now we're getting into the weekend, and it's supposed to be cold and rainy. that's weather for you. That's weather for you. This whole week has been unseasonably warm and really, really nice and very enjoyable. Got some yard work done and some stuff outside and just really enjoyed the week. But now that the week is ending... It's only supposed to be mid-70s today after being in the high 80s for the whole week. I think we hit 90 on Wednesday. Unseasonably warm for this time of year. It's not even June yet. Matter of fact, it's barely even May. Today's Cinco de Mayo. And let's be honest, Cinco de Mayo was a much better beer promotion than the Dylan Mulvaney stuff that Bud Light has done. And if you don't understand how Cinco de Mayo became a huge deal in the United States, it's not a big national holiday in Mexico. It may be now, but that's because of the influence of the United States. It began as a beer promo. It's May, it's spring. They found this obscure Mexican holiday and started promoting partying on the beach with Mexican beer. So we'll just leave that there. It's true. You can look it up. So many things. It's like, what's the Kwanzaa? Kwanzaa was invented by a radical liberal college professor in the 60s. And I think he ended up later being convicted of murder. I mean, he was just like a weird dude. And so Kwanzaa is not some ancient African holiday. It was invented in California in the 60s. 60s or 70s, I'm not sure. So nothing new. Yeah, nothing old, nothing ancient. And there's been a lot of stuff like that through the years. One of the things that always gets me is when Christmas time rolls around, people want to... conflate Christmas with the Roman Saturnalia celebration, which we have no records of Saturnalia being celebrated in Rome until after Christianity had been established. So to say that Christianity copied Saturnalia is another, you know, never get a chance. I know it's May, we're talking about spring, and here I am bringing up Christmas stuff, but, check out, I love that Lutheran satire video, When Horace Ruined Christmas. Highly, highly recommend that one, because it's A, it's funny, and B, it's informative. And I think we need to have a sense of humor about these things. All right. Today is Friday, May 5th. 2023, and this is Squirrel Chatter, a podcast dedicated to scripture, theology, history, current events, and whatever else I want to talk about, like beer holidays, beer advertising campaigns. Not your typical topic on Squirrel Chatter. We webcast every Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. Mountain Time on Twitter and Facebook, and then the podcast is available for download wherever you find podcasts. Squirrel Chatter is a proud member of the Christian Podcast Community. You can head on over to christianpodcastcommunity.com, check out all the great curated podcasts that are over there. You are sure to find something worth listening to. And I didn't go and count how many there are. It's over 50. And it might have topped 60. I know there have been a few new ones added to the list recently, and I'd have to, I will try to go to the website and count if I remember, so that I can bring you an accurate report next week as to how many podcasts are currently on the Christian Podcast Community website. But every podcast on there goes through a rigorous, and I do mean rigorous, examination before it's allowed to go on the air. How Squirrel Chatter slipped through, I'm not sure, but we're here anyway. So, yeah, check that out. ChristianPodcastCommunity.com. Lots of podcasts on lots of topics, and all of them are going to be in agreement on the gospel. We're not going to be all in agreement on secondary issues, but we're all in agreement on the gospel. So you're going to hear, you know, some viewpoints that may not jive with your own, but you're going to be hearing it from good and godly people. And so it's worth giving it a listen and giving it a consideration. So I encourage you to do that. What do we got coming up today? We have prayers from the Book of Common Prayer. We have a reading from John MacArthur's Daily Readings from the Life of Christ. And it's Friday, so it's Federalist Friday. We are looking at Federalist number 24 today. And one more thing. Last night, last night/this morning, because it was Thursday night here, it was Friday morning in Australia. So I time traveled via Zoom and interviewed a man from the next day, my friend David Old in Sydney. He is an Anglican minister, and we were again talking about GAFCON and the global Anglican stuff. And it was good to talk to David because he's not looking at it from a American point of view. He's a Brit who lives in Australia, and so brought a slightly different take to the topic. So that's going to be airing on Monday, so you can look forward to that. So it's kind of a companion interview to last Monday's, and no, this is not becoming the GAFCON show. I'll say this again on Monday. I think that the events of this last couple of years, and especially these last few months, in the Anglican Communion that culminated in the Kigali Commitment that was signed in Rwanda at GAFCON 4, I think that these events have the potential to be very beneficial for the gospel and the church, big C church, not just the Anglican church, but the Church of Jesus Christ, in the coming decades. This has the potential to be a Reformation level event. I'm hoping it's not another Southern Baptist Conservative resurgence. Because you remember in the late 70s, early 80s, when the conservatives took over the Southern Baptist Convention on the arguments that, you know, the sufficiency of, actually it was the inerrancy of Scripture was the argument. That was the issue that led to the conservative resurgence. And they got rid of a lot of liberals out of the seminaries. They took over, like I said, they took over the governing body of the Southern Baptist Convention. They cleaned out a lot of the liberals out of the seminaries. And it looked like a great movement to restore biblical Christianity. Because if you go back to the 70s and you look at the Southern Baptist Convention, it was headed in the same direction as the Episcopal Church and the Methodist Church in the United States, as far as, you know, the liberal drift. And drift is too mild of a word, I think. But the liberal trajectory, there's a better phrase for it. And so it seemed like it had been recaptured for biblical Christianity, and for a while it had been. But now, looking at, and next month in New Orleans at the 2023 Southern Baptist Convention in New Orleans, I think is going to be a watershed moment. And so, you know, I'm hoping that the GAFCON movement and the Kigali commitment is not another conservative resurgence, because the Southern Baptists have gone off the rails again, and I foresee, I'm not sure what's going to happen in New Orleans, and of course I won't be there because I'm no longer a Southern Baptist pastor, and I do not attend a Southern Baptist church, but I'm still paying attention because I know a lot of the people in the Southern Baptist Convention, and I have a lot of friends, and I grew up SBC, and, you know, like I said, served as a pastor of an SBC church and all of that. So I've still got concerns. I've got interest of a high level. And so I'm looking at New Orleans, and I'm not particularly hopeful. So I'm thinking that we're going to see the convention go the wrong way, and it's going to end up with a lot more Southern Baptist churches leaving the convention. The convention will be abandoned to its fate, and Bible-believing churches will continue forward proclaiming the gospel faithfully. And so that's kind of my prediction. I'm hoping that GAFCON 4 and the Kigali statement and everything that's going on in the Church of England, or the Anglican Communion, Church of England's gone off the rails, but the Anglican Communion globally, I'm hoping it's not a conservative resurgence. By that, I mean I hope it is a genuine reformation and not, you know, the conservative resurgence really only lasted for that generation. And the firm faith and beliefs were not passed on to the next generation. And remember, you know, apostasy is only a generation away. If you can have, you know, and they've shown this, that institution after institution after institution founded by biblical Christians for biblical purposes have, and this is churches, this is colleges, this is denominations, you know, these institutions that were established by Bible-believing Christians for the proclamation of the gospel, the training of ministers, all of that, within 1 to 2 generations have gone liberal. I mean, just look at the fact that Yale and Princeton were started to train ministers. And, you know, look at some of the men who headed up these schools. Good and godly men. I mean, you go back to the 1700s, 1600s, looking at the founding of these schools and the people that were there. And then you look at them now, and they're just bastions of liberal academia. And have drifted so far away from their stated purpose and their intended goal. And we've seen that happen with churches, with denominations, with schools. Baylor University, Now, Baylor University is still, you know, Christian, according to their website and stuff, but it's not, you know, it's not the doctrinal foundation of Christianity it used to be. It's drifted liberal. So, you know, Southern Methodist University. I don't sure if there's anything Christian about Southern Methodist University at all anymore. Outside of the name, of course, looking at how liberal the United Methodists has become, and I'm not sure what branch of Methodism that Southern Methodist University is actually connected to or was connected to, because a lot of these connections have been dropped. And even solid places like Boyce, you start to wonder. And I'm someone who once had much greater admiration for Albert Mohler than I do now. And I think a lot of it isn't Albert Mohler. And I know I have friends that disagree. I have friends that think, you know, Albert Mohler is the Antichrist. I am not among them. But I think because of recent political movements, and I don't think he has as conservative a board of trustees as he had even 5-6 years ago. And because of that, he's lost some of his ability to affect things at Boyce and Southern that he had. And a lot of it's, you know, he's older. You go back to when he was named president, he was a young man full of vim and vigor, and he came in and kicked butt and took names and really did clean up Boyce University and Southern Seminary. And now I don't know that he has the drive to continue to do that, nor does he have the backing that he had at the beginning. So all of that to say, looking at GAFCON and looking at everything going on in the Anglican Communion, I am praying this is a genuine reformation. I'm praying that this will have a strong effect in favor of gospel proclamation for the next century or more. And not only in the Anglican Communion, I'm hoping this spills over to the rest of the church, and that we get a genuine movement of the Holy Spirit to stop the downslide that we're seeing in the Western civilization. And it could be that, you know, as Rome's time was up in the 4th century, 4th, 5th century, maybe the Western civilization's time is up. And perhaps the shift is going to the global south. That we're going to be looking to, you know, the nations of Africa and the nations of Asia, that they may become the hub of biblical Christianity on the earth. As the West sinks further and further into degradation and debauchery. And it could just be that this is the next step in history. I'm still praying for a reformation, a new reformation in the West. And I'm hoping, praying, wishing that the Kigali commitment and everything is going to kick the teeth of the Western churches and wake them up. And perhaps we'll see a resurgence of true biblical Christianity and gospel proclamation. That is my hope and prayer. And one of the reasons why I'm paying attention to this sort of stuff. You know, the whole planet matters. I am an American, and I do have nationalist and patriotic sympathies, but I'm also an Earthling. You know, this is my planet, and I'm also, you know, a Christian. I'm first and foremost a Christian, and Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is, you know, top dog on the whole planet. And so the whole planet is his. The earth is his and everything of it. He made it. It belongs to him. He has a purpose and a plan in it. And so I want to see the gospel prosper from, you know, the North Pole to the South Pole in both Eastern and Western hemispheres. So we got, you know, Eastern Hemisphere, Western Hemisphere, Northern Hemisphere, Southern Hemisphere. I want the gospel proclaimed everywhere, faithfully. And I want to see people repent. I want to see people come to trust the Lord and put their faith into practice and grow in godliness and promote godly values. And I want to see, you know, parents teaching their children and families worshiping together. Now, I'm, you know, am I hopeful? I remember something that I heard Phil Johnson say a long time ago. He said, "I'm not an optimist or a pessimist. I'm a Calvinist. God is sovereign, and he has a plan, and he's working his plan. His plan is not my plan. His ways are not my ways. His ways are much higher than my ways. There are things that he takes into consideration that would never occur to me because I don't have all the facts and, you know, my brain's the size of two or three tennis balls. So it's, you know, my brain is much smaller than a basketball. So is yours. So there are things that I do not grasp. There are things that I do not understand. There are things that God takes into consideration that I don't even know need to be considered. So, you know, I trust in the Lord. That is faith. I trust in the Lord. I trust in his plans. Having said that, I also trust that he has given us our marching orders to go and make disciples of all the nations. And of the it's of meaning from, not making the nations the disciples, but making the people of the nations disciples, making disciples in, of, and from every nation. Spreading the gospel around the globe and calling on people everywhere to repent and believe. That is our job. And so, you know, a lot of the stuff, you know, Paul talks about praying for the government, praying for those who are in power, praying for, you know, kings and magistrates and et cetera. And he says the purpose of that is so that we might live in peace and have the ability, the freedom to proclaim the gospel. So we want government that maintains law and order, that we might live in peace, that we don't fear the thug on the street, but we can live in peace and have the opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with our friends and our neighbors. And so that's, you know, I mean, you really want to get down to a governmental purpose. You know, we're supposed to punish evildoers. It's supposed to maintain law and order. It's supposed to keep the people safe and the nation at peace as much as it lies with the government. And so we want that. And so we pray for that. so that we can share the gospel. It all comes back to the gospel, that Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, lived the perfect life we can't live, and then died a death he didn't deserve to pay for our sins, so that all who come to him by faith would have their sins paid for at the cross and would be clothed in his perfect righteousness to stand before the throne of God the Father and worship him forever. That's the gospel. Repent and believe. And that gospel proclamation is our calling. The calling of the church is to reach the lost and teach the found. That's what we're supposed to do. Proclaim the gospel. Those who respond to the gospel with faith and repentance, we are to teach, to disciple, so that they, in turn, can proclaim the gospel and teach the next generation. And it's sad that it has been reduced to God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. It's not even good evangelism. It's certainly not discipleship. So, you know the gospel, know the scriptures, pray the gospel, spend time, fellowship in a local church. It's Friday. Here's my weekly warning to go to church on Sunday. Weekly warning, weekly encouragement. Go to church on Sunday. The weekly warning is if you don't, you will not grow in faith. Because you can listen to the best sermons on the internet. You can watch entire church services on the internet. You can read the best books that have been put out by the most thoughtful Christians of history. And you will grow in knowledge. But all of that pales in comparison to the fellowship of the local church. It's the fellowship of the local church that God has designed to teach us and raise us up as mature Christians. That's the maturing force, because it gets us out of our isolation. It gets us out of it makes us accountable. And we're not, it's not good for man to be alone. That was the purpose of God creating woman for man. But it's not good for the Christian to be alone. We're not to forsake the gathering together of the saints. We need the motivation. We need the accountability. We need the comfort and fellowship that comes from regularly gathering with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And not just random Christians, but the Christians you gather with every week that you come to know, who come to know you, so that they can speak into your life and you can speak into theirs. And you can encourage each other. You can admonish each other. You can advise each other. And that's the purpose of the church. All for the glory of God and the proclamation of the gospel. So, yes, go to church on Sunday. Yes, pray for the church. Pray for the growth of the church. Pray for faithful Christians to faithfully proclaim the gospel, and pray for the discipleship of those who come to faith, that they would live and learn and serve faithfully themselves, that the Christian faith could be faithfully passed down to the next generation. Because I'm getting old. It's funny, I was thinking the other day, I don't know why I keep getting a flicker on my camera, that's weird. I was thinking the other day, I've always been the youngest of my group of peers in many ways. I'm the youngest of three children. I have two older sisters. And so when we were hanging around with family and cousins and everything, I was always the youngest. And so, there was, I, and then in high school, even, My best friends in high school were 2 years ahead of me in school. I was in the class of 84, and the guys I hung around with were in the class of 82. So I was the youngest guy there. But then when I got to college, because I had lived some life between high school and college, I was among the older students in my classes. So, but I still thought of myself as one of the young guys. And now I look at myself in the mirror and I see all the gray hair and I realize, you know, I'm not the spring chicken anymore. I'm almost 60. Not getting any younger. Certainly feel it. I mentioned doing some yard work this week. I felt it. Trust me. I felt it. And I don't work out like I ought to and exercise like I ought to. I'm fairly sedentary in my life, and I know that that's not good. It's summer. We've had good weather. The snow's been off the ground, and I haven't gotten back into my habit of daily walking, which I need to do. And so, you know, encourage me in that. I haven't been hiking for, you know, this spring yet. Even some of the trails around here, I've got maps of all the trails in Mineral County and Sanders County. And that, you know, I could spend days up in the woods hiking on Forest Service trails and getting all that exercise and, you know, all of it within, you know, I mean, I could drive less than an hour and find miles and miles and miles of beautiful wilderness trails that I could be hiking. Now, the high country is still snowy, but there's stuff down low that I could start walking, and I haven't been. So encourage me in that. But I'm just saying that I'm not getting any younger. And the older I get, the more I'm starting to understand how important it is to proclaim the gospel to the young. And that's crucial. And one of the key strategies to proclaim the gospel to the young is to proclaim the gospel to their parents. One of the things that's been shown over and over and over again is if you, and I'm going to use, you know, if you win the mom, quote unquote, you get the mom. If you win the dad, you get the family. Now, the mom may bring the kids, but they're going to disappear as soon as they're in high school. But if you get the dad and the family, then the kids end up sticking around longer. And we need to get much more doctrinal with our young people. We can't just entertain them for so many decades. All right, I have gone on for half an hour, so our show is going to be a little bit foreshortened. I don't have time now to read the entire Federalist number 24, so we'll save that for next Friday. So let's do our prayers and our devotional from Dr. MacArthur, and then I will wish you a good weekend when we're done. So we're having a Friday edition of Monday Meandering, and then to remind you, Monday you'll get that interview with David Old in Sydney. Parramatta is actually the town that he's at. He's a suburb of Sydney. It was fun talking to him. I did not realize he's assistant minister at the oldest church in Australia. St. John's Anglican Cathedral is the oldest or longest continue. I don't know if it was the first established, but it's one of the first. And it's the longest site that's been in continual use in Australia, which I think is pretty cool. and that is where he ministers. And of course, being a cathedral, it is the seat of a bishop. In his case, I think it's an assistant bishop of the diocese has his seat there. So interesting stuff. Now, my understanding is that most of the time the bishops, because of their administrative roles, never having been in a church organization that had bishops, but just judging from church history and such, my understanding is that the bishops and because of their administration roles, they are not directly involved in the pastoral care of a church, and are often preaching multiple places throughout the diocese because their responsibility is beyond their local church, to the whole diocese. And because of that, the churches that are the cathedrals have, I believe they call it a canon, is the pastor of the church. And, but he's under the bishop. The bishop is actually the head of that local church, but the canon is the actual pastor of the church because the bishop is more concerned with the diocese and stuff. But a cathedral is the headquarters of a bishop, the headquarters church of a bishop. And so that's how that works as far as I am aware. David is the senior associate minister at St. John's Anglican Cathedral in the Sydney area. So that interview will air Monday. All right. Enough of me blathering. Let's go to our prayer of confession from the 2019 Book of Common Prayer. Almighty and most merciful Father, we have erred and strayed from your ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against your holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done, and we have done those things which we ought not to have done. And apart from your grace, there is no health in us. O Lord, have mercy upon us. Spare all those who confess their faults. Restore all those who are penitent, according to your promises declared to all people in Christ Jesus our Lord. And grant, O most merciful Father, for his sake, that we may now live a godly, righteous, and sober life to the glory of your holy name. Amen. And now our reading from John MacArthur's Daily Readings from the Life of Christ. Our devotional today is entitled Mercy Compared to Forgiveness, Love, and Grace. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Matthew 5:7. To understand the significance of mercy, let's compare it to three amazing attributes of God. First, mercy has much in common with forgiveness, although it is distinct from it. God's forgiveness of our sins flows from his mercy, but mercy is greater than forgiveness. Because God is merciful to us even when we do not sin, just as we can be merciful to those who have never done anything against us. God's mercy does not just forgive our transgressions, but reaches to all of our weaknesses and needs. Just as forgiveness flows out of mercy, mercy flows out of love. But God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. Ephesians 2:4 and 5. Love is greater than mercy. It can manifest itself even when there is no wrong to forgive or need to meet. Finally, mercy is also related to grace, which flows out of love. Grace and mercy have the closest possible relationship, yet they are different. Mercy deals with the consequences of sin, while grace deals with sin itself. Mercy offers relief from punishment. Grace offers pardon for the crime. Just look at what the Good Samaritan did. When he found a Jewish traveler who had been robbed and beaten, he held no animosity toward him. Love motivated him to show the man mercy when he bound up his wounds, and when he took him to an inn and cared for him, he showed grace. Such is the expression of mercy, working with forgiveness, love, and grace. Ask yourself, is there someone to whom you need to show God's mercy, expressed through your love, your grace, and your forgiveness? Think of how you can turn your merciful intentions into practical action. All right. And scroll to the bottom of the page and get to the Apostles' Creed. As I said, we will save Federalist Friday for next Friday and read Federalist 24 because I ran on too long. Hopefully you at least found what I had to say interesting or useful. It is. This is a podcast dedicated to whatever it is I want to talk about. So you've been warned. All right. Let us recite our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Now the Collect for the third Sunday after Easter. O God, whose Son Jesus Christ is the Good Shepherd of your people, grant that when we hear his voice we may know him who calls us each by name and follow where he leads, who, with you and the Holy Spirit, lives and reigns one God forever and ever. Amen. Now the Collect for Endurance. Almighty God, whose most dear Son went not up to joy, but first he suffered pain, and entered not into glory before he was crucified, mercifully grant that we, walking in the way of the cross, may find it none other than the way of life and peace, through Jesus Christ your Son, our Lord. Amen. And now the Collect for the Unrepentant. Merciful God, you desire not the death of sinners, but rather that they should turn to you and live. And through your only Son, you have revealed yourself as the God who pardons iniquity. Have mercy on the unrepentant and those who do not believe. Awaken in them by your word and Holy Spirit a deep sense of their sinfulness and peril. Take from them all ignorance, hardness of heart, and contempt of your word. Grant them to know and feel that there is no other name under heaven given among men by which they must be saved, but only the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So bring them home and number them among your children, that they may be yours forever, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, world without end. Amen. All right, folks, have a great weekend. Even as it is cool and rainy here in Western Montana, I intend to have a great weekend. And don't forget to go to church on Sunday. Please, it's where you need to be. Remember to do the things you ought to do. Don't do the things you ought not do. Whatever you do, do it for the glory of the Lord. We'll see you again here on Monday for another episode of Scroll Chatter. Take care. God bless. Have a great weekend.
Squirrel Chatter is recorded in front of a live studio hamster.